No fixing this in post. We're going natural, raw, organic lead-in tonight.
See, we said we wouldn't talk about the Senate sex tape, but then you're talking about raw and natural.
You know, we haven't talked since before Christmas. Why don't we talk about Christmas tonight?
Yeah, we could talk about Christmas. Okay, you go first.
Oh, well, in that case, welcome to Two Dads Talking. It's good to have you back, dads and non-dads. Turns out there are actually a lot of non-dads listening to us. Yeah, Christmas was a wild holiday season this year. Since then, we have finally launched the podcast, so people are listening to us on Spotify, on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. Yeah, so we're live. We're actually doing the thing now. And I got to tell you, it's all a little bit different when you actually release the podcast. At least that's how I feel. I've listened to the edited things before. Doug's been doing a great job doing some of the production, the editing work on these. I say some, he's been doing all of it. And listening to them after he edits them, puts them in our cute little Google folder is fun, and it's good to listen to. But listening to it on Spotify and actually knowing it's out there for people to hear is empowering and embarrassing and nerve-wracking and anxiety-inducing and awesome. That's my two cents on it. How do you feel now that we're actually out there and being listened to?
I feel judged. I envision that if we just keep doing this, someday someone's going to walk by me and they're going to have no idea they walked by Doug, the stupider one from Two Dads Talking. You know how you pass like 18 serial killers in your life on average? Like you pass 17 podcasters on average in your life, and maybe I'll be one of those 17. Who knows?
Wait a minute. Why are you the stupider one? Where do we get to that assumption that you're the stupider one in the cast?
I feel like this does not need any explanation.
I think it does, because every episode I listen to, I'm like, man, that Doug, that guy is well-read, and he retains the stuff, and he's able to pull these things off the top of his head and fly. I don't know why you would feel that way. Not to pat you on the back too hard, because I don't want to bruise your ribs, but I wouldn't feel that way if I were you.
Well, I mean, I do agree with that guy a lot when I listen to stuff. But the Maui wildfires, when I reference the sheriff, I had read a headline that said he was the sheriff in the Las Vegas massacre. And now I'm doubting myself because I'm listening to this episode, editing it down, and I'm like, this seems like a really bold claim. Like, what if this is wrong? And this guy somehow catches wind of it. So I looked, and he was actually the incident commander. And I put in a little just edit to say, whoopsie, sorry, guys. He wasn't actually the sheriff. My bad. Anyway.
You fixed it in post.
I did fix it in post. So that's also why I try to say that I'm shooting from the hip, and I may be very wrong, because I get if I remember something, I usually get the gist of it right, but the details, your guess is as good as mine. Good luck. It can all be different colors, but I'll still know what the object is.
Well, it's fun listening to these things in hindsight. We talked about, you know, Sheriff Nutt for the Texas guy who was absolutely the guy who self-imprisoned himself and militarized his family. And listening to that podcast again kind of made me chuckle. I'm hoping to go back on stage in March for another stand-up bit. And I think I might just spend some time talking about Sheriff Nutt after having listened to that. I don't know how I can help it. But listening to these things in hindsight, it's funny how some of our takes age. I especially like the ones from like the night I was drafting a football team. We talked some football. And I was like, yeah, the one I went off on Jonathan Taylor. And I was like, he's playing for a team that's not going to make the playoffs. And he's a selfish douchebag. And I called correctly in that podcast that the Dolphins and the Browns were going to be in the playoffs. So I was spot on with that, which was good. I will say your Loki take was awful. That did not age well.
No, it was
dead wrong on the Loki take.
Oh, excuse me. I mean, if you read every comic book and watch every side series.
It has nothing to do with the comic books. Just Loki season 2 that dropped right after we recorded.
Just in the movie. Well, but okay, but this was in one of those series, right? This was not in the main like movies.
No, it's a Disney Plus series, Loki season 2.
Well, then I can't be held accountable for that.
Sure you can. It's part of the MCU.
Lots of things are part of the MCU. It doesn't mean I watched it.
It still means that your take didn't age well. So for those of you who don't know what that was, go back to episode 6 and listen to Doug talk about what Loki will and won't do. And then go watch Loki season 2. I'll give Disney Plus a free plug. It's pretty good.
I'm here to represent all of the casual MCU people.
By casual, you mean incorrect, and that's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a casual fan. I'm simply saying that your take didn't age well, and I thought it was funny when I was listening to it. That's all. I'm sure if we scan the 18 hours of recordings that we've done so far, you'll probably find one or two things that I was wrong about too. It's fine. It's all right. It's okay.
Per episode.
Per minute.
Okay. Enough of the tomfoolery. Word chosen very specifically. With the release and the episodes getting out there, Tom mentioned that his wife listened. And she mentioned that, you know, you talk about being dads and your show is called Two Dads Talking, but you've never really been like, here's why I'm a dad. Here's exactly my dadness in full, all fleshed out. And I think it's a good idea just to get the backdrop. So the reason that I feel confident in calling myself a dad is not just biologically. I always kind of wanted to get married, have kids, the white picket fence, whole nine yards kind of spiel. And as I got into my later 20s, I would sit there concocting all these reasons why time was running out for me. Oh, if I meet somebody, I'm not going to propose to them for at least 2 years, because you can't really know somebody until at least 2 years. And then that engagement will be at least a year, probably two. And then what if we decide we don't want to have kids right away? So that's 2 years or 3 years or whatever else. So if I meet my wife tomorrow, then I'm not going to even have my first kid until 35. And then, you know, I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up depressed and, you know, shocker. But did meet my wife and things went swimmingly. And here we are, three kids later. So my full dad bio is I have a five-year-old who's in kindergarten, a three-year-old, and a zero-year-old. He's not quite 3 months yet. And getting into kindergarten with the five-year-old has been, this is going to sound weird to say, it's not that I'm more of a dad now, but having the kindergarten aspect, the school aspect of one kid actually branching out and starting to interact with the outside world without us, I feel like that's really where I'm starting to stretch my dad wings, because now I have to sit there and tell her why someone said something, why you should listen to a non-parent, why sometimes you should not listen to a non-parent. How do you get your five-year-old to tell you if you think something, you know, you want to be able to know if something seems off without actually having been there? And I guess the really short version is that I feel like I'm very qualified to talk about some dad things, even though there have been plenty of other dads who have gone before me, is because I'm right smack in the middle of not knowing what the hell I'm doing. And that should be the point of this. We want to be a touch point for all of us who just sometimes you just don't know what you're doing. And you just need to know that other people are going through that. And deep down, we all actually do kind of know what we're doing, but in the moment, we're just doubting it. So just being a little bit of a rock on the stormy parenting seas has been kind of my dadness in all of this.
When you go back and do the post-work on this, I want you to find the scene from Friends where Rachel's having her 30th birthday and she's like melting down. She's doing her timeline. She goes, I'm really 30. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm not married yet. I don't have children yet. And she starts doing the actual math and says, well, after I meet the right guy, we have to date for probably 2 years and then we can get engaged. And then I probably want a 1 year engagement. And then I probably want 2 years before I start having kids. And then, well, if I'm dating him now, that means I can have my first kid at age 36. And I guess that means I'm probably only having one. Like, she does the whole timeline. I want you to find that and put that in here, because that's kind of what you just did, just a little more detail. But it's very Rachel Green-esque. I like the way you broke that down.
I have never been acquainted to Rachel from Friends until now, which is,
yeah.
Okay, so we've already referenced how I'm not a huge Friends fan to begin with. My wife is a huge fan of it, but I will say that Rachel is also probably my least favorite character, so this is even more disturbing. So Tom, why are you a dad? What's your real motivation behind being here as a dad?
Yeah, for me, we've touched on it before. I'm also realizing as I listen to these episodes again on Spotify how many stories I repeat. And so I'm trying not to repeat too many again. But for me, you know, coming from a divorced parent home, I kind of always wanted to have, you know, a dad to to be around and to be active and be engaged with me. And unfortunately, my dad didn't live nearby, so it didn't work out that way. But for me, there was a girl who moved to my high school my junior year, who I was infatuated with literally right from the start. And we became great friends, but she wouldn't date me. She made me wait 4 years, and I was infatuated with her the whole time. But since I couldn't date her, I dated everybody else that I could date, as long as she wasn't going to give me a shot. And I got a chance. I came home for a friend's wedding. I was on leave 2004 and had a heart-to-heart with her and talked. And we'd been best friends ever since high school. We stayed in touch. When I was in Iraq, I sent peanut butter to her in Spain. She was studying abroad, and I would literally take the MREs that we had, and I would trade my pound cake, my Skittles, whatever I opened that was a dessert. I would trade it to people for their little peanut butter packets, because she was writing me letters from Spain, and the senora she was staying with was feeding them nothing that she wanted to eat. And she couldn't find peanut butter in this country. And peanut butter was sort of the thing. Like, she and I bond over peanut butter. And I had all these packets of essentially shelf-stable peanut butter. And I would trade for them with other guys from MREs. And I would send like these big gallon Ziploc bags full of these little peanut butter bags to her. And when I shipped them, I'd tell the story all the time, and it always makes me laugh. To ship it from where I was, we had to get this peanut butter, this package, and I would give it to the postal person on base, on the little fob or wherever we were. And they would get in this thing and they would drive it to multiple fobs and then take it back to the main base in Kuwait, probably Camp Doha. And from the camp in Kuwait, it would get shipped to an APO in Germany. And from there, it would be sent to the States to an NPO, an APO either in DC or New York, I forget which. And from there, it would go to a regional post office and be shipped to Spain to her. Where I was, Kuwait, Iraq, is probably a 2-hour plane ride to where she was in Spain. But this peanut butter crossed the ocean twice, went to like 5 different airports. By the time it got to her, it probably had more stamps on it than a cheap hooker outside of a Navy base. It was really, really crazy how far this peanut butter went. And I would just send her bags of it.
Why is it a Navy base?
Oh, they've just got the best reputation for being out in a submarine.
Why not an Army base, Tom?
Well, because the Army guys are always there, but it's the sailors that are out to sea together for like 8 months at a time, and they get back to port and they got to blow off steam. So they've got the reputation for being sort of the more salacious individuals.
Good word choice.
I try. Words are kind of a thing. But so anyway, I was infatuated with her since way back then, and we went home for this wedding and saw her and had a talk and decided that, you know, I'd love to date her if she'd love to give me a chance. And she's decided, yeah, I live in Rhode Island, you're stationed in Georgia, and it would be a pretty serious thing. Do we really want to do that? And I said yes. And so we decided we're going to do this long distance thing, and she was going to come down to Savannah as soon as she could and find a job, and she was just going to move down there. And I was actually, when I got back to Savannah after this wedding, we got orders to go back to Iraq. So we had been back just about a year, a little less. And they're like, yeah, congratulations, you guys are going back for 18 months. Go pack your stuff. So we packed all of our stuff. And my job in the Army, I worked on some pretty fancy electronic equipment. We had to pack up a test van and pack up a supply van and pack up our personal gear. And everything gets packed up and it gets sealed and it gets lined up on the flight line and ready for a convoy to go to port. And it goes to port just before we leave. Our stuff is packed. My duffel bag is packed. It's locked in my trailer and banded by the people who do the inspections for customs. We are as ready to go as we can go. And somebody comes running down the stairs onto the flight line as we're getting ready to line up and says, "Sergeant Kamash, you got orders." "Yeah, I know, dumbass. I'm going to Iraq like everybody else." "Thanks." No, you got orders. You're going to Germany." "I'm sorry, I'm going to where?" "Yeah, you're going to Germany." So I went and I talked to the CQ sergeant, and they went and got my platoon sergeant. And sure enough, I had orders to go to Germany while all my guys and all my stuff is packed up to go to Iraq. We thought it was kind of weird, and I went and talked to my first sergeant. And I had won a lot of different competitions when I was in Savannah. So I was the company, battalion, brigade, division, and post soldier of the month, quarter, and eventually, kind of by default, soldier of the year for 3rd Infantry Division. I'd won their last post one, and there was another competition for soldier of the year. And because I was the last one that won it, I kind of got to be the soldier of the year for the entire 3rd ID, which was kind of crazy. I was the first person, to the best of our knowledge, we looked, and I was the first person, as far as we could tell, that wasn't actually a 3rd ID soldier to win their board and be their soldier of the quarter. So it was kind of fun. It was kind of a middle finger up to them. That's all just to say that my battalion brigade, like a lot of sergeant majors, were familiar with me because they had been at these boards and they knew my name by now. And so my first sergeant, when I went to his office, my platoon sergeant, he says, well, what do you want to do? You want to go to Germany? Do you want to go to Iraq? And my plan was to go to Iraq with my guys. You know, we had trained for it. I'd been with there once before. I kind of knew the deal and they were my guys. My plan was to go to Iraq and save up some money, come back, get out of the army and have kind of a nest egg. And then obviously go try my luck with the woman who's now my wife. I wasn't looking forward to being gone for 18 months and I knew that things could change. So it was risky, but that was the plan. They asked me what I want to do. And I said, let me call somebody real quick. So I called B and I talked to her and said, hey, something happened and I've got some choices now. I got orders. I can go to Germany. And if you want to come to Germany, come to Europe, come to Germany and I'll be there. But otherwise, I'm going to go to Iraq and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get out with a nest egg and we can go ahead and give this dating thing a shot and see what happens. And if you ask B how that story goes, she'll tell you a slightly different version. She will tell you that I called her up and said, hey, honey, I know that we talked about moving close together and starting dating. And I know I'm supposed to go to Iraq and possibly die. But if you'll come all the way out to Europe, then I won't send myself to the desert to die. But it's totally up to you. What do you think I should do? That's how B tells the story. And the end game of the whole story is she actually had dual citizenship with Ireland and America. So she's already a European citizen. And she said, screw it. Go to Germany. I'll come to Europe. It'll be fun. So we started dating literally in Europe. And it didn't take long for me to realize that this was everything I wanted it to be, that she was everyone I had hoped she was and I thought she was. And she was the one I wanted to be with. I had submitted a warrant officer packet to fly helicopters. I had decided before that was going to be my life. I was going to fly, hopefully Apaches, but I was going to fly some kind of helicopter. And that was what I was going to do for 30 years. And I was going to love it. And that was going to be my thing. But after dating her seriously and having time with her and kind of realizing what she represented, I decided I kind of wanted to be a husband more than I wanted to be a soldier. I didn't want to be doing the whole home for 15 months, gone for 18 months sort of life, especially since the unit that I was attached to, I supported Apaches. And if I was going to fly them, then no matter where I would go in that line of work, I'd be deploying all the time. So I decided I would much rather be a husband than be a pilot. So I withdrew my packet and I decided to get out of the Army instead. And I didn't re-up my last term. So after a little over 7 years, I got out. While we were in Germany, we took a trip to Venice. We took a long February trip to go out there for Carnival. And I did the super sappy, super romantic thing. And we got out there and got on a gondola and I got to propose to her on a gondola in Venice during Carnival, which is pretty high standard for a schmuck like me. It's hard for a woman to say no when you're proposing on a knee in a gondola in Venice. So guys, if you're looking for a sure way to get it done, that's the way to do it.
It's even better than a baseball game.
So it's a little better than a baseball game. It's a lot less corny. So, B left the country when I had about 6 or 8 months left so she could get a job, get situated for my life post-military, start planning the wedding. I wrapped up my time. I got out, got home, got married, did the whole thing. She decided she wanted to get her doctorate. She wasn't happy with the job she was working. She was having a lot of corporate success, but she was traveling a lot. She would go to France for a week and then come home and be home for a few days and then go to North Carolina for 3 days and then Texas for 4 days immediately after and straight to Kansas City and then all over the country, to California and then the Netherlands and all over the place. But she decided she was traveling a lot and it wasn't what we wanted. It was a lot of time apart and I might as well have been deployed. So she wanted a career change and something she had always wanted to do was physical therapy. So she went to get her doctorate degree in Virginia at Old Dominion University. We went down there and I took a job as a law enforcement officer. That was when I did my 4 years as a police officer. And that was a job I loved. I genuinely loved that work. Felt good about what I was doing, appealed to me, got all the adrenaline out of my system. Did make me cynical, did make me kind of a darker person than what I was before. But it was fun. But we also reached a point once she got out of graduate school and she was pregnant with our first kid, where it was a lot like the military decision. And I had to decide, do I want to be a police officer and work 70 hours a week? Or do I want to be a husband and a father? And kind of realized I really wasn't being a very good husband at the time and didn't think I'd be a very good father. So left that walk of life, took a really roundabout, circuitous route to the career stop that I'm in now. And yeah, now I'm a father of three. I have an 8-year-old, I have a 6-year-old, and I have a 2.5-year-old, 2 girls and a boy. They're great. Being a dad is great. And for me, it was, you know, my journey here. I think of myself as a dad kind of because I've given up things I liked to be here. The sacrifice is kind of a part of it. And the fact that I like it and the fact that I like my kids and I enjoy being a dad is sort of that validation that I made the right choices. If I'd have stayed in and flown helicopters, I could have been retired by now. But I made the right choice. I'm very happy with the family that I have and the kids that I have. For me, it's a part of getting to live out what I wanted when I was growing up, and the dad that I wanted, I get to try to be him. And I'm not doing a very good job of it. All of my friends that are dads are, quote, better dads than me. But like we talked about before, Bandit is my spirit animal. Bandit from Bluey is the dad that I want to be. I don't have his energy. I'm not nearly as good as he is at promoting the imaginative gameplay with the kids. But I just like being a dad. It's just fun. It's frustrating and it's stressful. And I lose my temper and I'm constantly feeling like I'm lost in the woods and don't know what I'm doing. But somehow, despite all that nonsense, it's all worth it. And it feels like whatever I'm doing, I'm there. And as long as I'm there, that's the important part. And that's kind of what I shoot for. And that's kind of how I define being a dad instead of just a father.
We talk all the time, me and my wife, about, and it's not to knock anybody without kids. It's not meant to be that at all, because we both existed for a long time, you know, doing plenty of stuff before meeting each other, before having kids. But sometimes we look at each other and we say, what did we even do before we had kids? Like, did I even have any purpose before I had kids? It reorients everything. You get married and that's different, but they're still kind of the same jobs, a lot of the same hobbies and everything else. And my dad had warned us both. He said, nothing changes your life more, like your day-to-day life, than having a child, because it just completely flips everything around.
And actually, while we're there, this seems like a pretty good spot to give a shout out to a couple of dads, especially my younger brother. I am going to put his name out there. I don't care. Justin just had his first child, healthy boy, and he's tickling his feet and watching his toes move, and he's doing all the first time dad stuff that seems to be pretty common for a lot of us. And it's pretty cool that, you know, I get to be an uncle again and that I have a nephew who's within driving distance of my house. That's kind of neat. But my brother probably never going to listen to this. He'll be a good supportive brother and he'll be, hey, good job. Congrats on the podcast. I hope it's doing great, man. He'll probably buy a shirt. He would buy a shirt or a coffee cup or something from our merch store before he would actually listen to the podcast, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But this isn't really.
It sounds like my mother.
He's probably taller and younger and a little bit more manly than your mom, probably, is my guess. I haven't met the woman,
though. It's not that hard to do.
But yes, congratulations to him. I'm so stoked. I'm excited to meet the nephew this weekend. And welcome to the world of dadding, little brother. He is going to be a fantastic dad. Just so happy for him and for the kid. The kid's going to grow up a stupid lucky kid. Just ridiculously lucky. So yeah, shout out to a dad.
Congrats, Justin. Is there anything else you want to talk about tonight?
I certainly don't want to talk about the Dolphins.
I mean, if they're going to have a rough offensive patch, better to get that out of your system at the end of the regular season in case it does end up turning around.
I think they're just too high up on the injury list right now. There's too much going on there. They're missing a lot of their weapons. If Xavier Howard comes back and Jalen Waddle comes back, I think they can beat the Chiefs. Looks like Howard's not playing. I don't think Mostert's playing. I think they're losing to the Chiefs this week. I think they're done in one. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong too. Right now, as a Browns fan, I just don't know what to do with my hands. It's having the Browns in the playoffs alone, much less having the final week be a nothing week where we could sit all of our starters, hopefully get a little bit healthier. That it was weird.
Yeah.
And even though he's technically the fourth string quarterback, we were not exactly a usual poverty franchise with Joe Flacco.
That man's come back to life, though. Flacco's been wacko, man. It's been fun to watch.
He's old. But you know what? He got essentially almost a year off to just rest, and probably, considering how much football he's played, he probably he did a lot of mental reps, probably just watching, or just kind of being himself, but not taking the hits. So we'll see if he can keep it up. Even though we beat Houston earlier, we're playing them now in the playoffs. They've got Stroud back, who's been ridiculously good as a rookie. So I'm not going to assume anything. It would be nice. I think the Browns will probably be favored in that game, which, again, I don't know what to do with my hands because this is all completely new territory. But one game at a time. We'll see.
I don't understand why everyone's ruling your Browns out this weekend. I really don't get it.
Are they ruling us out?
The Texans, right?
Yeah. It's at Houston. And I think people are sitting there saying Stroud gives them that extra 7 or 14 points that they needed to be close before. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, our defense is just so good. It's hard to believe that we're not going to be in most games, no matter who we play, at least right now. So I don't want to be the happy to be here fan and not expect anything more, but I'm just not trying to build myself up too much. Just enjoy it while it's here. Because
yeah,
all those other fan bases who have had, like Patriots fans, they have 1.5 bad seasons, and you have some fans being like, oh no, we're so sad, we suck so much, everyone feel bad for us. And it's like, no. If you're under the age of 12, maybe you're allowed to say that. But if you're a teenager, at least you had to see some of the Tom Brady and other seasons, and you came in when they were good. So don't give me that garbage. So good job us for not getting to the Christmas stuff tonight. Things went a little bit loopy. We think we got some good stuff for next time here too, but we're gonna go right to our dad jokes and then get to our sign off tonight, because it's been a heck of a holiday season and heck of a week with getting everything all out there and good to go. So I think I'll just go right to my dad joke and then we'll get to getting out of here. So I don't need you to actually guess anything, Tom. I just want to tell you that I confronted a mime today because he did unspeakable things.
That's lovely. I like that one. I am going to ask a question, and I do expect a response in that. I hope that you have the answer for this. It's something I've actually been asked quite a bit the last week, and it kind of made me think, what separates bad jokes from dad jokes? What's the difference between a dad joke and a bad joke?
Because a dad joke is a parent?
No, I like that one. And that's what makes a dad joke a dad joke. But what separates a dad joke from a bad joke?
I don't know. Hit me with it.
Condoms.
All right. That was good.
I had another one that I thought was pretty good. And it actually, I probably should have gone that way. I'm going to give you a two for it. Why not?
Dude, yeah, give me a good.
So here's a dad joke. A wife says to her husband, I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And the husband, being who he is, says, hi, pregnant. I'm dad. And the wife says, no, you're not. I thought that one was good, too.
Yeah. My backup was kind of a similar, like, dirty side, but it was like, why would a golfer wear two pairs of pants?
Casey gets a hole in one?
Correct. All nice right. Job.
I do have one Tiger Woods joke. It's about a medical pill that he endorsed. They're going to call it Tiagra. You take one pill and you're good for 18 holes.
False advertising. He only got through 13.
All right. On that happy note, we've degraded ourselves, but we've given me a brilliant idea for merchandise that I'll talk to you about when we're done recording.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It's good. This is the best idea we've had since this awful podcast idea. I mean, this wonderful podcast idea. On that happy
both
note.
Both apply.
As we mentioned.
Stop it. Okay, stop you go. You stop it. Like us. Review us. Bad ratings hurt Tom, as previously mentioned. I'll let Tom cover the rest because he's the smart one.
I don't know about that. I might be more articulate. But as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, we are officially live. We are on all the podcast platforms. And so now it actually matters that you like us, you review us, that you give us comments and feedback. To make that easier, we do have an email address, and I'll let Doug plug that one. The email address, if you want to reach out to us directly, is
2dtpod@gmail.com.
And that is the number two, not
Correct.
TWO or
The number
TO
two,
or
Delta Tide Pod Pod at gmail.com.
Oh goodness. More on that next week.
It's in the show notes. It's in the show notes. Just click it there.
So
It'll
you
bring
can
you
reach
right
us
there.
that way. We also have a Facebook page that we just created. It's officially up and live, and we've already got some kind people following. Find us there. That's a great place to talk. It's a great place to learn more about us, to get updates about our casts, to give us ideas. There's a couple of things on there. If you read the description and a post that we put up there, I put some of our ideas for this. I put a lot of my ideas in there and kind of forced them as Doug's ideas as well. So now he espouses my opinions too. But there's a lot of things we want to do with this cast. It's not just about talking and having fun and having cathartic mental health exercises once a week. That's all lovely, and I think we both enjoy it. But we both want something bigger for this. We want to have the single greatest collection of dad jokes anywhere in the world. We want to have a support group for dads, a place where you can come and just feel good about being a dad and not feel judged and find other people to kind of help you figure stuff out if you need that. We would like to have sort of a professional network where if you need something and you need a service or you need a professional, we've got kind of like a network of dads willing to help you out and either walk you through it or help you to get it done or are there for hire. We also talked briefly early on about how we'd like to have a dad shout out, and we'd like to, you send us a dad who needs a pick me up and we'll send them a grocery card. We'll send them gifts for their kids around the holidays. We want to do something that's going to help dads who need help. It's not an idea we've fleshed out a lot, but I think that if we can get a group on Facebook talking to us, giving us ideas, contributing, I think we can come together and figure out a good way to really help some people out who need it. Dads need help too. We're all badass superheroes, and we know that. Modest and humble badass superheroes. But dads,
Obviously.
obviously. But dads need help too. And I think Doug and I would both like to eventually turn this into something where we get to help dads and we get to help people who need it. So there's that. We also are selling merchandise. It's official. We've got a pretty limited line right now because we just fired it up within the last week. It's all pretty basic stuff, but it's got one of our logos and it supports us and it helps the show. And obviously, if you're wearing our swag, it helps to promote the show. People ask you about it and you can tell them to listen. So you can find that on our website. Our website will be linked in the show notes as well. We do it through Beanpod, Podbean.
Podbean. It's
Ooh,
Podbean.
that's a horrible shout
It's
out.
hard.
We do it through
Sorry, Senor
all these
Beanpod.
talks about suicide pods. I just didn't want to put the pod first. So we're doing this through Podbean, and you can find our website there. You can find all of our episodes. You can find a link to our merchandise store. You can find our email address. You can find a link to our Facebook. I'll have that up there real soon too. But find us there. Leave us comments. Leave us reviews. Reviews are actually going to be very important for us as we're trying to be heard. You don't realize until you do one of these things how much that actually matters. I know it's annoying to ask every single episode for likes, reviews, shares. But that is what's going to help us grow and help us reach more people. And it's also going to make us more easily discovered on these large podcast distribution platforms. So please do that. If you don't like us, tell us you don't like us, but tell us why. Don't just say just because Doug's a big stupid head. Tell us what
I'm
he's a big stupid head about.
very huge, monstrous, stupid.
Right. So give us that constructive criticism. And also give us ideas. I would love nothing more than to have a steady channel of dads sending us a list of topics that they would like to hear so we know we're talking about something relevant and sending us dad jokes and sharing pictures of them wearing our shirts. That sort of a thing. We want this to be a community. We live, what, 900 miles apart?
Something like that. It was pretty clear pretty quickly that we wanted this to be sort of a hub or like a community thing. It sounds like a cliche, but we really do want this to be your podcast. We're here, we're doing it, but it's yours. That's what gives it the real purpose.
So engage, please reach out, find us, engage with us. Don't feel like you have to be a dad. I've had a lot of friends talk to me about the cast who are not only not dads, but are not men and don't aspire to be a dad. But if you're listening, we want to know what you like and what you don't like because we want to make this better. Doug and I are both, I'm not going to say perfectionists, but we're both competitive and we both like to do things at a high level. And I think if we're doing this and we're 30 episodes in and we haven't improved the cast and we haven't improved how we're going about it, we'll probably get pretty disappointed and let it go. We need to be making improvements. So let us know. Reach out. Seriously, engage with us. Comment, rate, review, share. And know that we love you guys. This is something we realized there was a need for this. And there's a need for it because, to be perfectly honest, dads don't get the same sort of support and encouragement that moms do sometimes. Sometimes it's harder in certain ways to be a dad. It's harder to be involved in a world where people are constantly talking about toxic male influence. And it's hard, and we know it's hard, and we want to help make it better. And I think that's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah, I'll hijack it for you here. It should be out by the time you guys are hearing this, but the quote old logo is the gold lettering with the couple of drinks because, you know, it's us just chatting and hanging out. The new logo is really meant to reflect what we want this to be. You're all heroes, especially when you don't feel like it. And there's just not enough resources to remind you of that. And that's what we want this to be. While we BS about random political topics and jokes and events and everything else. So that's it. We want to be the hub.
Yeah. Doug hit it on the head. Despite the fact that he says I'm the smarter one, he hit that way more succinctly and articulately and clearly. So
I just read what you sent me. It's fine.
I wish that was true. I'd feel smarter. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We've been live for a week and we've already got something like 200 downloads. I'm shocked and I'm humbled. And I know Doug appreciates honored. It and I appreciate it.
Really humbled and honored.
Yes. Honored is the word. Thank you guys. I hope that this continues. I hope this isn't just a first week we've been live kind of thing and that it continues and we can really grow this into something. So thank you for listening. We really appreciate you. We'll catch you guys next week.
Later.
Later.